This is
Tears of Scrutiny. Hi there, welcome back to Tears of Scrutiny. My name is Eva Ebin.
And I'm Bari Sadana.
And on today's episode of Tears of Scrutiny, we're going to be talking about a case called Alexander v. South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing quite a few, I think, over the course of our podcast, we've done a few gerrymandering cases.
Yeah.
Right? We had Moore v. Harper, which was to do with independent state legislature theory, and mm-hmm. it was in our very own home state of North Carolina. So that's a fun one. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. And then we also had one based in Alabama called Allen v. Milligan. We did an episode on that. Check it out. And today we're doing one called Alexander v. South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is gerrymandering?
Yeah. So gerrymandering mm-hmm. is when a party who is drawing the maps, especially in states where mm-hmm. the parties are the ones who are allocated. The legislature usually is the one who draws the maps. Some have independent commissions, mm-hmm. but in North Carolina, for example, we have the legislature mm-hmm. who draws our maps. And mm-hmm. what they'll do is they'll try and draw the maps so that it's beneficial to their own political party. This is something that both the Republicans and the Democrats do
yep.
all the time, everywhere. And, you know, some of the ways that they do that is by packing people into mm-hmm. one district. So they'll mm-hmm. try and pack all the Democrats together, for example, in one district, or all the Republicans together in mm-hmm. one or two districts. Another mm-hmm. way is cracking, which is where they'll try and separate the power mm-hmm. of those groups as well.
Yeah. So, you know, in this case, we're seeing packing happen. Mm-hmm. So after the 2020 census, South Carolina's GOP-controlled legislature created a new congressional map, and it moved tens of thousands of Black voters to a different district. And it made that district a safe seat for Republicans, right? So the South Carolina State Conference of the NAACP sued, and a three-judge panel concluded the district was a unconstitutional racial gerrymander. The court said that the legislature imposed a racial target of 17% in congressional district one, and also said that they had abandoned multiple redistricting principles in order to, quote, bleach, unquote, Black voters from their former district. So the legislators, you know, conversely, they said, hey, no, it's not a racial gerrymander, it's a political gerrymander. And that's actually permissible under a case called Common Cause v. Rousseau, that the Supreme Court decided in 2019, if I'm not wrong. And the legislators said, yeah, we didn't do this racially, we did it politically, and it's therefore okay. It just ended up having this racial effect, right? The question at hand that the Supreme Court has to decide is, does the South Carolina legislature's redistricting map, which has the effect of moving tens of thousands of Black voters to a different district, constitute an impermissible racial gerrymander, even if the legislator's purported intent was merely a political gerrymander? So this is, I think, a debate that we often have here, is like mm-hmm. effect versus intent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it really matter if their hearts were in the right place, if the yeah. effect it had was racially discriminatory? And can effects be racially discriminatory? Is it intent, like, inherently the thing that is discrimination? You know what I mean? Like, I go back and forth on this.
Yeah, and I think part of the mm-hmm. issue with this mm-hmm. case in particular mm-hmm. is I was listening mm-hmm. to the oral arguments mm-hmm. and reading some comments after about the oral arguments, and one of the things that the justices kept coming back to is that a lot of the evidence that the NAACP had was circumstantial. Mm-hmm. So they brought in experts who said, oh, but it had this racial effect.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no text message, no email that yeah. said,
intentionally,
let's separate based on race. And mm-hmm. I think that's really important too, because it's like, yes, it has a racial effect, but at the same time, like,
are we sitting here analyzing the effect of things and determining whether or not they're racial, and should that be something that we do in our political system? Isn't that
yeah.
itself discriminatory? You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, it gets really dicey.
Especially yeah. with, like, the Supreme Court being a nonpartisan body,
yeah.
right? You know, if they're deciding on a case like this,
mm-hmm.
they don't really have a lot of, I guess, leg room in something like this, right? Because
yeah. they're nonpartisan inherently.
They cannot, yeah,
yeah,
rule in favor of one party or the other, except when it comes to something like race being an effect.
Yeah.
And yes, to an extent, there is definitely some intersectionality with political party and a political affiliation and race.
Not just to an extent. Like, the fact that we are able, I think we're in this point in our society We're still in this point in the society where a person's race is very indicative of the way they vote. Can we not argue that? So that, it's sort of like inextricably linked in my head.
I think yes and no. I feel like I'm starting to see a lot of people potentially turn away from certain groups. Like, you know, I think, for example, with Asian Americans, a lot of people think that Asian Americans tend to vote one way or the other, particularly left-leaning. But I know with, like, I feel like a lot of people have that, like,
Misconception.
Mm-hmm. At least a lot of people think minorities vote the same way. But I think we know, you know, like, being an Indian American myself, like, I know a lot of Indian Americans who voted for Trump both in 2016 and 2020 because of his relationship with Modi and his view on economics, things like that.
His view on immigration, for one thing. Which actually may sound counterintuitive, but, you know, it irons out.
And same thing with, I think, you know, this is something we're talking about in GOPO as well, as with, like,
GOPO is
government, AP government and politics.
Yes.
But with that as well, you know, a lot of people expect certain groups to vote a certain way.
And that doesn't always hold up. Absolutely. Yeah. But okay, like, taking the Black community specifically, we do know they overwhelmingly vote blue. We just know it to be true. And you know what? I think it'll be like, I can't wait to see, as society progresses, to see that diversification of, like, demographic votes. I think it's really interesting. But right now, we know that to be true. Like, you know, I know what's going to happen if I, you know, scatter Black voters, or if I pack Black voters. I know exactly what's going to happen. Why, we, you know, we can sit here, we can predict what's going to happen to those seats. Mm-hmm. But, like,
but then if you know that, then doesn't it make it a political gerrymander, right? If you, but you know, that's, no, like,
I would argue the other way. Like, I would flip it on its head. Like, doesn't that make it a race-inflected motive? If I know what's going to happen and I do it anyway, you know, but I can see it both ways, actually.
Yeah, so, like, you know, that's the thing. I think it goes, again, like,
in circles.
So, yeah, with so many of these cases, it's like, but I think the fact that there's no, like, actual, like, email, no
proof.
Text
There's
message.
No proof. Yeah. That's, like, why this is different from Moore and Allen. And, well, Moore is different, but, like, Allen v. Milligan, like, you know, with Alabama and the GOP there, the court agreed with the voters, essentially. And they decided, the court said, hey, like, these are racially discriminatory district maps. And that was very much a 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause issue.
And Voting Rights Act.
Voting Rights Act issue. Because it was, like, very much reliant on, like, that case. If it didn't go the way that it did, it would have dismantled a significant part of the Voting Rights Act, you know? So a lot of people think, and I was reading a lot of comments that were like, hey, if the court decided, you know, this way in Allen v. Milligan, won't they do the same here with Alexander v. South Carolina?
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about
this predictive thing that we do.
Yeah, like, I just think also, like, again, with this case, because there was no evidence, it's so hard to say that it was racial, like, especially if you're acknowledging, yes, there is intersectionality between race and political party, then it's so hard to say, no, what they were doing was not, I mean, they could have taken any, like, Democrats within South Carolina, it just so happened that they were Black voters, you know, and I feel like that's kind of, like, where I'm coming from is, like, it's so different if there was anything that's said different.
Yeah, and in terms of, like, concrete evidence versus what they have.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think saying, yes, there was a racial effect. Yes, that's true. Yes, also maybe making the argument that it doesn't represent the state if they had packed the voters in the way that they did. But if it proportionally represents the state in terms of what the parties are and racially, like, what it should look like, I don't know if there is necessarily that racial effect. And I think that's also dangerous too, right?
Yeah, it is dangerous. It gets,
I mean, like, I think similar to, like, how I feel like with the decision in affirmative action, there's really no way to hold something like this accountable. You know, people are going to be smarter than to write, than, like, with affirmative action than UNC and Harvard were in terms of how they employed it. And there's no way to really say whether or not someone, a voter, like, in this situation, it's not like they're going to write you know, what legislator is going to be dumb enough to put in a text message
or in an email or in any sort of document, like, we're doing this deliberately to disenfranchise black voters. No, this is like, same thing with affirmative action. You know, there's so many ways to show your race beyond clicking a box. You know what I mean? This is a different case. I would not say that the court's prior decisions are indicative of how they'll decide in this case, especially having heard the oral arguments. I can't wait to see how this turns out. But I think, do we have anything more to say on this one? I don't feel like it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.